There we go.
Okay. Sorry, we just started the recording. Go ahead, Karis.
Okay. I gave a quick Excel spreadsheet, for you guys last night. Just wanted to kind of go over that quickly if we had a couple of minutes. Looking at the spreadsheet, Dawson's again with the 671, DM Tank is 388. The Jones and Deeds contracts are 51,200. We had 2,500 for the life probe, and the archaeological survey is $1,230.
Yeah.
So that's all the numbers that we have to date. That total amount is $1,115,506.50. And then what I did down below is when you look at the bond for the 869.4 and the 295 for the grant, that's $1,164.4. So when we talk about contingencies and we talk about the CIP money, we're still $48,893.50 kind of in the black without even touching the $85,000. So I think that was one of the things last week that people were kind of having a hard time with numbers, is that your overall budget for the grant and the bond is, you're still within that amount, even with another $48,000 and change surplus. So, does everyone, that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's important, for the district voters. I mean, that we haven't even started touching that. So again, you know, depending on how you want to look at the engineering costs, if you wanted to use that out of the CIP, that would just leave a more of a delta out of the bond and grant money. Again, it's all kind of a shuffle game on how you want to expend that. So I just wanted to kind of get that updated for you. I did send you over, and again, it's just for discussion today, pay rec number 2 from Dawson. I guess the 2 key things that I wanted to kind of outline that I put in my email to you is, from a reg standpoint, we've just gone over the 200, the allotted allowance was 200 cubic yards. We're at 208.25. Talking with Jake, he's probably got about another 50 yards from the building to where they're at. They're about 40 to 50 feet away from the building right now, and that's all a pretty hard ledge. There was one service connection that we were working on yesterday that they had some ledge. So, we're estimating that's probably going to go up maybe another 50 yards. But I think overall, I'm pretty happy that, a 200-yard item that we've only gone over by 50. And a lot of that was just because of the tank. We had the winding track that needed to be flat, and we had a giant ledge mound that we had to actually take out. That was a requirement of BN Tank's construction. The other item to look at is A3, which was the 4,400 feet of pipe. Again, we take the, on the computer, we took 4,400 feet as on a kind of a line along the streets. They've actually installed at this point 44 of 44, so we're just about 1% over on that. And again, they've got another 40 to 50 feet from where they've left off to get in the building. So again, these contracts, these are state bid contracts that the contractor gets paid by the line item. Some items go under, some items go over. Typically, the way the DES spec is written, when the contractor goes over 125%, then the owner and the contractor have the right to renegotiate that item. But I don't think at this point I see any issues with the items. His $125 a cubic yard for ledge was a reasonable number. It's actually kind of a low number. And then the $40 for the pipe work is reasonable. So I don't see any changes in that, except just that those linear foot will change. And usually what we'll do on these contracts is we'll do kind of a balancing change order when we're all done, for any overdues and any underdues that would take place. I did meet with Ian and Jake, and we looked at the Lakeview Drive PRV pit. That was something that maybe a couple of weeks ago we had talked about, and what I'm planning on doing is actually putting together another hydraulic drawing over on Little Lakeshore Drive up to Bergamo Road and see if there's a better way we can fix the system over there with the PRV pit. So that's something that Jones and me could be looking on for an option of getting rid of some of the leaks over there, getting a better flow and pressure over to Bergamo Road, as opposed to changing that PRV pit. So that's something we're going to put in some different numbers. I'll probably be working on that next Friday, so I probably wouldn't have that to the district to the following week to review. As far as the tank work, they did get in the pipe shaft yesterday. They're tentatively scheduled to do the tank slab next Friday. It's a tentative schedule on that. They're going to pour the rest of the pipe shaft today, and then that'll get backfilled, and they can start in the next all of next week in the morning, you know, in the early part of the week to tie the rebar for that. I don't know. It was Kelly in there today?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right here.
Okay. I didn't know. It looks like the schedule has changed with the milestone of DN Tank doing the flat work next Friday. So I didn't know if maybe we can shoot for next Friday with Ryan paving.
No, I'm waiting for a call back from him. He has my information. I just haven't heard back. I can shoot for that.
Okay. All right. But that, you know, that would, I mean, not that I need to be there, but it would be nice for the three of us, you know, their paving estimator, you and I, to kind of walk it. But if we didn't do next Friday, that would be, you know, better for me, I guess. That's all.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got my office looking at the hydraulics for the culvert replacement on Briston Stock at Salem, because I think right now it's a 24-inch CMP. I want to make sure, you know, if we do replace that, so we need to go to 36, 48, whatever. But he's working on that right now. So I should have that, you know, I can send that over to you, Kelly, and the commission by email once I get that. And we discuss that next Thursday at our meeting as far as that one and then the one at the corner of Aspen. Those are the two big ones that we see that need to get replaced.
Yep.
Correct? Yep.
Right. Yep.
I'm not really too worried about the size of the one on Aspen. I mean, that's really just that paved gutter, and that's a 24-inch now. It really doesn't have a big watershed behind it. Unless you
no,
think...
That was, no, that one's fine, Chris. That's a good one. We never had a problem.
Yep, that's what we thought looking at it. But, yeah, you got a pretty good stream channel for the other one, so we want to make sure if we're going to spend the money, we're going to do it right. Things are moving good, you know, moving forward. I guess if there's any, you know, projects surprisingly moving ahead of schedule. Again, the unofficial calendar for DN Tanks is for them to be complete the first week in August. They'll be doing demo and leaving for their unofficial schedule.
Perfect.
I guess
Chris, on the invoice from that you sent us from Dawson, that has to be notarized. Is that something you do, send it to Dawson, or is it something that I contact Dawson for?
I'm sorry, say that again. I'm getting a global. Yep.
The contract that we sent over, that you just sent over, it's not notarized. And in order to send it into the state, it needs to be notarized.
So is that something that the office does?
I'll get that. The one from yesterday. Yep. I'll get that notarized by them.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I see that now. Yeah, I met with him in the field. I forgot it wasn't notarized. So I'll get you. Again, it's for discussion at this point anyway, but we'll get a corrected one that's notarized over to the commission. Like I said, at this point, the state's doing a is doing their audit, so we really can't send any disbursements in right now anyway. But we want to get, at least get it processed from a paper standpoint. So I'll get that corrected. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Kathy or Paula, do you have any? I'm sorry, Chris, is that all you got?
Yeah, no, I think things are moving forward. I don't, you know, I'm kind of knocking on my wooden table because it seems that everything's, you know, moving forward ahead of schedule.
Good, good. Good. Kathy and Paula, I'm just going to throw it out to you. You have any questions for Chris?
Not for me, Paula.
Okay, so this is Kathy. Just curious, like I heard most of what you said regarding the ledge and the pipe. Is that something that we'll wait till Dawson's done, and if they've got some under expended funds, that's what would cover these overages, or are these overages that are going to be paid over and above the 671 that we what their bid was?
They would usually get paid over the 671. I mean, that's really why we have a 10% contingency for just
okay.
these type of overages, or if the client wanted to throw in an extra gate valve. I mean, you know, we try to estimate quantities as best as we could, 10, I mean, gate valves and things like that. But, you know, I'm looking at possibly getting rid of the Upper Lakeview PRV pit, but adding more piping on connecting Little School Drive to Bergamo. So I'll have a better idea of how those costs will come out next week or at the end of next week. So I'll have that for the following week. But yeah, typically that's why we want to have contingency. We never, you know, we never want to have a contract out to bid for the exact money, because again, we're dealing with utility work, underground work, unforeseeables, unsuitable ledge. And then just, you know, just pipe work. I mean, we try to estimate as closely as we can for pipe, but if it goes over a couple of feet here, a couple of feet there, or under,
mm-hmm.
Most of all the other line items are just kind of an each. The only big one would be the PRV pit. If we get rid of that one PRV pit, that's $23,000. And then the PLC allowance. Again, we've all been trying to get in touch with Tom at his company on the PLC. I know that's something I need to get Jay for you and for Larry, and I'm kind of getting anxious to see it also.
That was my second question. Okay. All right. No, understood. I just wanted clarification on that, and I absolutely agree that that's why you have the contingency fund.
Yeah, and I think, you know, right now we're tracking, you know, if you look at it in the red, we're $1,000 on one and $1,000 on the other. So on a $671,000 project, I think those are pretty good numbers.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. You all set, Kathy?
I am. Thank you.
Great. Chris, so thank you very much. I got a couple of questions as well. I noticed up at the summit site you have what appears to be a fire hydrant to the naked eye. Is that going to be our basically our drain for the tank?
Yes, it is. Yes. No, that comes the line, the tank drain line. Anytime you do a tank, you always want to have an independent drain. So that hydrant, if you look on our drawings, is in between. It'll be placed in between the building and the tower, the tank.
Yep.
Tank.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With a gate valve. So if we wanted to drain it, we can drain the tank on its own.
Yeah. And I also noticed you're using a ductile iron pipe, 6-inch, right there at the tank and into the pump house. Are you going to continue using any ductile outside of the pump house? Maybe going
down
Reinach?
Everything, the Reinach itself with HDPE, everything, they're going to do a little short section of HDPE 6-inch between the tank and the building. To get some better flex, but everything else is going to be HDPE connecting. And again, when the stuff that they ran up the hill with 6-inch was supposed to be either ductile iron or HDPE. It turns out it was only SDR, or it was C900, the Blue Brute.
Yeah.
So we'll be tying in on the 6-inch plastic with our 6-inch HDD coming into the new building.
Okay. And you had mentioned that you are working on possible redesign, which may eliminate the need for the Upper Lakeview PRV. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that we're still looking at. We're going to start investigating the hydraulics and looking at that. We didn't have time yesterday with Ian to start looking at that one. We looked at the Young Fry PRV pit replacement yesterday, so we've got a kind of a good handle on where that's going to go. Okay. But I think we started looking at the best bang for the buck on the hydraulics, and it looked like when I looked at some of the old fluid drawings with pressure drops and. You know, we've got a better idea of connecting the 8-inch line off Little Shore Drive as an 8-inch.
Little Shore, yeah.
Yeah, and that would be a better feed for Bergamo with the same pressure going up the hill as opposed to a PRV going down the hill.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you have a 2-inch line all the way on Lakeview going all the way down to Bergamo, for a PRV pit to reduce that pressure at the end of that road, where it might be better off just to tie that in, cut the line on, was that Ridge? No, Ridgey?
Ridgey Drive.
Yeah, maybe somewhere in there we've got to look at cutting, not as much cutting as putting in a gate valve to hydraulically disconnect those areas, because I guess Ridgey's just pretty much a cross-country run.
Yeah,
there's a few homes on, was it Slots?
Swayze, yep.
I see. There's a few homes on there, so it's something we've got to figure out what the best bang for our buck of continuing at least a 4-inch to connect those, and that'll get better flow for the houses on that section.
Okay. All right, so when you finalize those types of plans and ideas, I'm sure you'll be able to present those to the commissioners. One other question I had was there a meeting yesterday that we were supposed to have attended up at the summit?
Not really, no. I mean, it's just I just do my usual thing.
Okay.
I come up once. I just come up and do at least a weekly inspection, go over that, go over with Cody from GN Tank and Jake. Work's been done. I really wanted to be there for the pipe pit 4 because it depends on which way they put the pipes in for the fill in the drain on the tank, that they got it the right way. We didn't want that reversed.
Yeah. I understand that. All right. Kathy Pollard, any other questions for Chris?
No, I'm good.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. So, Chris, unless you have any other questions for us, I guess you're free to go.
Good, thank you. Yep, I got another Zoom meeting right now with New Hampshire Water Works. So on to the next one. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Have a safe weekend.
You too, thank you. All right, I guess we'll swing the mic over to DPW Foreman Kelly Robitel. Kelly, how's it going?
Going great. Road survived very well last night with the rain. We did a full road inspection, and we're good. The guys are out reinstalling the raft that Boulder Beach with a brand new ladder. They're on the water right now. I see we got the go-ahead for the culvert on Upper Lakeview. I'd like to schedule that for the first of next week, if that's a go. I believe it is.
Yeah, now, do you need anything from us as far as approval to purchase those culverts?
No.
Okay.
Just to know that I haven't seen the letter, but it is an approval.
Yeah, it's signed. I have it right here. Yeah, so Paula and Kathy, we have a signed letter from the Taylors at 33 Upper Lakeview to install the culvert across Upper Lakeview Drive and drain the stormwater drainage from the other side of the road onto their property at number 33 Upper Lakeview. So here's a copy. Kelly, if you want to see it.
No, look at it.
Okay. And does Kathy or Paula have any questions about that project?
Nothing. Glad that it's finally getting done.
Yeah, good. Yep. All right, great. Okay, what else you got?
We did our first treatment of calcium chloride to Rock House Mountain. We did the roads that were, I got a map of what which to do, and we did them. We used 720 gallons of calcium. I got an email from Rock House saying they're looking to do this at least one more, if not two more times over the summer, which is fine. I'd like to purchase and fill the calcium tank again. The money that we're getting from them will basically fill the tank, and we'll still have what we need to get through the season. We may have to chip in maybe $400 or $500 to do the complete fill. So it's definitely a good deal. They seem happy. We'll be happy. So it's going to put me over my line item number, but I know that we got plenty of money in my budget. I've been very careful with it. I think it's a good idea to fill that tank again, but I do need approval to go over the line number.
So Kelly's asking on the line for, is it, we call it salt?
We call it dust management.
Dust management.
Control. Okay. We actually bought, what, $2,500 this year?
I think it was 21 some odds.
Yeah.
Every year we just expend the full line. That's what it takes to fill the tank.
Okay.
The supplier for the calcium won't come out for anything less. So we do have, whenever we do it, we fill the tank. So I'm looking to fill it one more time.
And when you say fill, what, how many gallons and how many dollars is that?
It's a 3,000-gallon tank, but their truck won't fill it. I think they filled it last time. It came to the 21-some-odd dollars.
Oh, okay.
$2,100 mark. So it'd be pretty much the same number.
Okay.
If Rock House does a second application at the 720 gallons at $1.25, we're up over $800, no, more than that.
Yeah.
Double that. So, without knowing exactly what it's going to take to fill a tank, I'd like to tell the calcium people if they can get it close to $2,000, that's what I'd shoot for.
$2,000?
$2,000,
yes. Yeah. Okay.
But.
Right, and we'll be getting 900. We'll be getting $900 from Rock House Mountain on that first application.
Right.
Right. So if we did that again, we're at 18.
That's almost 2,000.
Yeah. And Russ Lanois, who's in charge of this, he's advocating for a second or maybe even a third application. He's got preliminary approval from Rock House. Actually, I got an email from someone from Rock House that said they would definitely want to do another one, maybe a second. It's something that will not go to waste. Even if they don't do a third, we definitely have use for it. And like I said, I do definitely have the money in the budget to cover it.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion that we go ahead and have Kelly purchased it. You want the $2,000?
I'd like to make it 25, just so, because it could be 21, it could be 21.50, just to cover it at the 25.
All right, and that will all fit in your tank right now?
Yes.
So I'll make a motion that we appropriate $2,500 for the purchase of calcium chloride. Do I have a second on the motion?
Where is it coming from?
That.
It'll be coming from
Allstate.
Line item in the budget and
is dust control.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to dust control.
Yeah, it's going to dust control, but we're going to be over on that particular line item.
So you have to say what line you're going to take it from.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in under on gravel. Like I said, we made a great purchase this summer.
Yeah.
I'm looking at no less than a $4,000 savings on the gravel from what we did this year.
So, is there any money left in dust control?
Dust control, we have.
Oh, there it is.
Not much.
Yeah. Okay. So
we
went
to the 22. We spent 21.83.
Yeah. So why don't we burn up the rest in dust control and then take the remaining amounts from the gravel? because that's what dust control or this particular product is trying to do, is save the gravel.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so motion's on the table. Allocation of that money has been defined. And do I have a second?
I seconded it.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. All in favor,
you don't
say
have
aye.
To thank, Jay, you don't have to thank me.
Yeah, no thank
you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm doing a visual
Let's
high
go.
Five,
more
virtual
more.
High five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so
okay.
I vote,
all in favor,
I vote
aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we got that down. What else, Kelly?
Okay, we did an exploratory dig on the Thusis culvert. We exposed where the two culverts join, and as we thought, it's an old rotted steel culvert that butts up to a plastic culvert. When I say butts up to, that's all it did. They just pushed it up against it and covered it with dirt. It's a good thing we exposed this. It's a definite fix. It definitely will not survive. I sent pictures to the office of the culverts. My thought process is we remove and replace the rotted steel culvert with a matching plastic culvert that will connect correctly to the existing culvert. And basically walk away. We've been through this for years, trying to do it differently. There's really no perfect solution for everyone between the district and the homeowner, the landowner. We have every right to replace and repair the culvert that's there without any approval from anyone. So that steel culvert, as far as I can tell, has been there for more than 30 years and will get far longer life than the plastic culvert, and it should perform the same way.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the line item for culverts. It appears that we have a $6,000 budget. We've only spent $315 thus far. So we got plenty of money in that line item. You're going to need two lengths?
Minimum.
Minimum two.
Wasn't there a Warren article for this?
There was.
Yes.
There was, Paul, but the homeowner kind of balked at it. They don't like the idea of moving the drainage under their property the way that the engineering...
No, I understand that, but can't we use the money for that? It is for the same that project. We're just... Are we doing
yeah.
it in a different way? That money?
Unfortunately, what we did, or what was done, I can't say we, but what was done, the material was purchased for the warrant last year in anticipation of doing it this year. The materials bought will not fit into this scenario. We bought 24-inch pipes. We bought a 24-inch header wall, all oversized.
I understand. Okay.
They're going to be used somewhere else someday, but they can't go to this project.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a good question, Paula. I didn't realize we had 24s that we purchased.
Yeah.
So... That was done in 2019 and reflected in the 2019 audit and all the bookkeeping. Okay, well, we'll dwell on this later, but if to Paula's point, you can still use the money from that warrant article and somehow.
I don't think the warrant was extended.
No, it was not.
So you can't use money.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. But we purchased. So if we went and bought the right size header, not that we're going to get a header. Are we going
to
get a header?
I'm not going to use that.
Okay.
Not one there now.
Yeah. The right size pipe. Yeah. We're not talking a lot of money. We're talking, what, 600, 800 bucks for the pipe?
Six.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so that's what our cost is going to be in materials, Paula and Kathy, about $600. So now the other question I have is timing. After last night's rain, I don't think
it's gonna. I want to purchase the pipes, have them in hand, so that when it dries up, we'll be ready to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's a hit or miss when we get the next rain. Can't do it right now, but as soon as it dries up again, we'll be ready to go.
Okay. And I'm gonna put this out to Kathy and Paula and Kelly. So the homeowner has been given a couple of different scenarios of what might happen there. including this current one that we're talking about. So we don't, this one we're currently talking about, we don't need to notify the homeowner. But does Kathy and Paula believe that we should at least let them know that a culvert connecting to what goes underneath their private property is going to be replaced? Not on their property, but from the street.
I think it would be a good gesture to do that, just to let them know that, you know, the end of the culvert under their property is within our right-of-way, or is it actually on our property?
It's on our property.
Okay, so it's not even using the easement from the property line. It's actually on the Thuzis Beach property.
No, it's on the road property.
Oh, it's on the road, okay.
Drive. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't think notifying them would hurt anything. It may be a good gesture.
Yeah, they were aware of both plans. They were objectionable to the one running the swale down the borderline. So Kelly explained to them the alternative, and I guess we just have to acknowledge that that's what we're going to do.
Yep. So, I think that's a good thing to do.
They definitely questioned it. The homeowner was on site watching everything we did, and he wanted to know why we weren't putting it into the basin and as the engineering called for and running it somewhere else. And I explained that there's really nowhere else for the water to go. The basin was just to manage the water before it made its final trek to the lake. And it still has to get to the lake, which would still either run it down our beach or down the edge of his property. They do not want any vegetation cut, no tree limbs, no nothing, because they want the beach hidden from sight. I explained what the best thing to do would replace the pipe. He seemed okay, but we'll see when he gets the letter.
Yeah.
But it's an existing drainage. It's been there for more than 30 years.
We're just repairing it.
We're just repairing it, so we have every right to do it. He might say he wants the drainage off his property, but I don't believe he has the right to say that.
Not at this point. It's been in there for 30 years.
So we do it, and it's done, or you send the letter, and you can answer the questions. Either way, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. So I think that's the plan, is what Kelly just described. I think let's go ahead and draft a letter. Donna, do you want to do it, or do you want one of us to do it?
I don't know enough to put into the letter, and I hate to...
All right, I'll put something together. I'll pass it by the commissioners and Kelly first before we send it off, and that will be done no later than end of day tomorrow. All right? Okay, moving on.
Okay, I was contacted by the homeowners at One Little Loop. They have a driveway that has quite a recess in it. It puddles up pretty heavily whenever it rains. It's done this for a long time. The water that puddles into their driveway continues down into our new drainage, into the catch basin and under the road, which is functioning as it should. They wanted some fill from us just to fill it in, and I told them the fill that they will get is not suitable for a driveway. It's not the right material. They understood that, but they also made note that other driveways have been taken care of in the area, so they want to know why their driveway can't be taken care of in the same way. It is our water. It does come off our road. It puddles in their driveway. It sounds awfully familiar. Now I'm stuck on what to do. Normally I would take care of the problem, but I won't do that. I'm going to leave it up to the commission.
Is Kathy or Paula, are you familiar with this particular household?
I know where that driveway is, and it does have a pretty decent sized rut across the driveway constantly.
Yeah.
I can go by and look at it. I mean, I walk by there. I have never really paid much attention to it, so I can't say I'm a problem. But
Would a driveway culvert, because the water's going to come down the side of the road anyway, but kind of the same idea with Upper Lakeview, instead of the water traveling on the surface, have them purchase a driveway culvert and have the water go under their driveway versus over their driveway.
Yeah, you really can't, Kathy, because There's no point. Place for it to come out the exit. It's all flat ground. It's not really...
It's not slow.
There's no ditch on the far side at that paved driveway to continue it into.
Okay.
Ideal thing would be to... Their driveway should slope towards the road, which it doesn't. It recesses downhill into there. You'll see it, Paula, when you... It's a giant pine tree that didn't get cut down. You'll see a recession where the water definitely puddles in there.
The puddle's probably right still there now.
It may be. Yeah. You see the dark mark where it was.
Yeah.
But if this hasn't been brought to our attention before, like how long have they owned the home?
A long time.
Yeah, they've been there for a long time and never complained about it. They actually went, as they described to me when I gave them a fire permit, that they went and bought a four-wheel drive Jeep because when they step out of that vehicle or trying to get into their property, they need a four-wheel drive because of the puddle that they have to drive through, something that has higher ground clearance. I mean, it is a substantial puddle, probably, 10, 12 inches deep?
Yeah. As we feared, this comes from seeing other projects done to benefit drainage.
But isn't there something about how if you own the property a certain amount of time and you haven't brought it to the attention? I mean, I could personally say the same thing. I was told I've owned my home for so long, it's going on. You can't do that. I mean, I think, what is the rule? Does anyone know?
Yeah, private property is private property. That's where the separation really occurs. There's no time frame as far as, the only time a person can complain about something is if there was a modification done to a road, which now
right.
negatively impacts that private property. They have, I believe, I forget what the time frame is, but there's been no modification made to the road. They just assume this is what the property they bought, this is what they are dealing with, and they decided not to complain. But then if you remember Paula and Kathy, we did get letters last year from residents on that road who were advised by another former commissioner and resident on the road that there was extra money left over in the warrant article. And if they had drainage issues, to bring them up to the Board of Commissioners. And we got two of those letters from two of the residents on that road. I don't believe it was number one.
Has this been brought to the attention of the board or just to Kelly?
It was brought to me through them. They asked for a fill permit for us to bring excess fill.
So did they fill out the fill permit? I think we need to have people... Okay, where is that? Is that before us then to consider the fill permit?
Yep. It's already signed. Yeah, it's already signed.
But they've signed the waiver, so let's give them the fill then. I'm sorry, I don't know what the question is that we're trying to deal with here.
The problem whenever I get a fill permit, Paul, or I contact the people to see where they want it dumped, and they said they want it dumped right in their driveway, and I said, I don't think you're going to be happy. Our fill is full of rocks and leaves and sticks. And that's when they said, well, that won't work.
Does the waiver say that it's full of sticks and all that stuff?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
They signed the waiver. Give them the fill. They're saying we want this. They've signed the thing, and now you're saying you don't want it. Either we have this thing and we do it, or we don't. I don't know why we're wasting time talking about this. Honestly, and why we're worried about anything beyond that, what somebody else got. They followed the process. Give them the thing they want. What is the problem here?
Well,
I'll go do it.
Well, the problem is a lot of people will not understand what fill means.
Well,
they don't know what it is.
In the form.
It is, and they still don't understand what that means for their vehicle.
So is that
and they don't want, and Jay, if they chose, they said, well, that's not exactly what I want, then okay, we don't give it to them.
Yeah, is that what they're saying?
I mean,
I wouldn't
put it there when they've already expressed concern about the quality of what it's going to be. If they don't want the material that's come out of the culverts, then okay. Then they can continue to manage the driveway the way they have for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And if you've said to them you're not going to like it and they said, okay, you're right, never mind, and they rip up the form, then we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
No, they said, what about the material you used on the neighbor's house? And I said,
that was part of a warrant article.
That's not authorized. That's not there's a cost to that. And they would have to have a private vendor do that, right?
Correct.
And if they say, well, you did it for, what's his name? Have them come to see the board about it. They shouldn't be having this discussion with you, Kelly. You shouldn't have to defend. You shouldn't have to agree with it. You say, I'm authorized to give you fill if that's what you want. I don't think you're going to be happy if they say, you're right, never mind, I don't want the fill. I want X. Say, if you want X, you have to go to the board.
Exactly what I did.
Disengage. Let's not talk about it until we hear from them. We're wasting time. Medical conversation. We're wasting time. Let's move on.
All right.
Kelly?
Yes, sir. I think what we want to do is on, now that we're on Little Loop, we have a lot of stumps that were created on Little Loop. My fear is that when they get covered with snow, we're not going to see them. We're going to hit them with our wings. We already had one neighbor that backed into one of them that was at the edge of his driveway. We pulled that one out so it wouldn't happen again, but I'm going to go in and remove some of those stumps. We talked about this before, and we said I better wait just because we don't know what's going on with the road. But I'm just going to remove some of the hazardous stumps. And if I know I was told not to, but I think it's a good idea.
Would it be a good idea also when you do that to notify each property owner that the stump is in front of? A lot of people believe that they own so far out into the road when in fact they don't. I don't want you to be in any confrontation with anyone.
Unless they're there today, because we're going to do it today if I can.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jay, we did notify, I mean, all the property owners were notified that the trees would be taken down. So I don't know if it's any surprise that we're now going in and finishing up that process by removing the stumps. I don't think anybody is happy about having a, 2-foot stump in their yard.
Right. Okay. Not to interject, Kelly, but since we're on Little Loop and we're talking about trees, we did get a correspondence that I guess we're asking to answer with regards to the clear cutting that took place between number 4 and number 6 Little Loop. They're asking the village district to replant vegetation to create that visual buffer or reestablish it. My thought is that we need to reach out to the logger who did that work and ask them why they went beyond the marked trees and took everything down. So that'll be my first, that'll be my idea. That's the first step we need to take, is get a discussion or an answer from that individual as to why that was done. Any discussion, Paul or Kathy?
I don't know if that's going to result in anything, but certainly it wouldn't hurt to ask them if there was a reason.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have, I'll help the office draft a letter for Sean's tree service to ask why that was done. Once we get that answer, we'll be able to move from there. All right. Okay. Anything else, Kelly? I'm sorry I had to interject.
That's all right. That's all I have.
Oh, that's it?
Going back, you guys, for Thusis, I think we did not authorize the expenditure money. I mean, Kelly can go ahead and buy those plastic culverts, right?
Yeah, he has the authorization up to $5,000. Was it five?
Great.
No, you guys dropped it to 15.
Oh, 15? Okay.
Still, okay. I can do that. I just want to let you guys know as long as that's the plan. But now I'm waiting for the homeowner.
I just want to make sure you're not being held up by this letter.
No.
Yeah, okay. There was one other thing I just sent in this morning right before the meeting, so the fact that nobody has it is not a problem. It was a draft of a letter to an individual, and I didn't get the address. Do you know the address on Burn Drive in Barden, that intersection? I think I saw 51. There's just before about 8:30. Because I shut my computer down right after I hit send. I hope I didn't cut it off.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So I put together a letter. I'll resend it. And it was just a draft to go to this homeowner. I don't know what their names are, and I'm not sure of the actual street number, but they're at the intersection of Barden Place and Burn Drive. Kelly and the crew, last week or the week before, regraded that road, brought in new material, and re-ditched it. So it actually looks nice, and actually the homeowner has done quite a bit of work on their property as well. But what Kelly noticed, was it this week or last week?
Oh, it was the day after we did it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They raked their yard or picked up a lot of yard waste, and they just simply dumped it in the ditch. I don't know why they did that. I know there was a conversation that the DPW had while they were there doing it. The homeowner was asking the DPW to do a favor by knocking a tree over for them that was already dead. The DPW responded correctly in saying, no, we don't do that. And then we find debris in our ditch. So I think a letter would be appropriate since a lot of nice work was done on our road and our ditch to get the drainage flowing correctly again. So I apologize if that didn't come through. I think I shut my computer down too early, and I'll resend that this afternoon. Okay. Is that all you got, Kelly?
That's all. It's enough, isn't it?
Well, I guess so.
We're on a tight budget today.
Yep.
So,
I
have a question for Kelly. I have a question for Kelly.
Yep.
I think 2 weeks ago we appropriated $300 to find some type of signage to warn people of the slowdown before Boulder Beach. You know, slow children at play,
yeah,
or some cones or something to notify the traffic.
Yeah. I dropped that one. We were supposed to look
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just a reminder.
Yeah, let me write it down again.
Okay, Kelly's got one other item he just discovered.
Yeah, I got a couple of driveway permits. 9 Rhinac, which we're already familiar with. They marked the spot. Their best guesstimation where the driveway is going to be. Because the whole surrounding area is the same, it's all downhill away from our road. There's not going to be any problem with their driveway to our road. Was the one I did. Sorry. I said that no culvert's required and that it slopes from the road. And that's good to be signed by the commission.
Okay. So I was just curious about the angle that they were coming off the road and that the width of that driveway entrance. Because I know we have a limit of 21 feet. And I just can't tell from this. Were you able to see both stakes, Kelly, when you were up there?
I saw the one, and then Dawson said that's where the other one's going to go.
Okay.
He told me, so they are aware of the width of the culvert.
I mean the entrance?
The entrance.
Okay, good.
Well, there's no culvert, so it's the
right entrance.
That, it's 20 feet, by the way.
20? Okay, that's cool. All right, I'll make a motion to go ahead and sign the driveway permit for construction of the driveway at number 9, Reinhardt Place.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And do I vote yes?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
I have a second driveway application for 34 Interlaken Circle. It's new construction. It also tilts downhill and away from our roads. It will be safe for construction. No culvert required. Same idea.
Okay, is that one? So if Kathy and Paul, if you could come in later on and sign these.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to talk about the second one.
So we have 34 interlocking. Kelly has gone and reviewed it. I'm just going to take a quick look at the drawing.
It doesn't show the driveway entrance, but it's marked.
Yeah, see, there it is. Okay.
Shows the lot.
Yeah.
But I have the...
Did they stake it for you?
Yes.
They did.
It's
okay.
Actually open. It's already created.
Oh, this is the... Okay, I know it. Yep. Okay, we have application on the table. I'll make a motion to approve the driveway permit for construction on number 34 Interlocking Circle. Do I have a second?
Go ahead, Paula. Now, do we have the driveway? Do we have the bonds in place for 9 and for Interlaken?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Who was the second at that one? Was it Paula?
Paula.
Yeah,
okay. Paula, thank you. Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Don't thank us.
Do it again. There you go. All right.
Just date it.
Oh, that's right. Just one other thing on the number 9, Reinhardt.
Oh, I was going to bring that up, that we found out we have to sign the road waiver.
Yes.
And it was.
I found that out last night when I talked to the Madison clerk.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we got those done. And do you want to bring that up now?
That was a Class 6 road, and I was under the understanding that they had to get a road waiver from the town of Madison. Linda Shackford and Bob Boyd looked into it, and they found that the VDOE has their notice of restrictions that has to be recorded at the Registry of Deeds over in Ossipee. So we filled it out, and I sent it into the Registry of Deeds yesterday. What they have to sign it. They have to, the homeowner has to have it notarized. So it's all taken care of going forward. Now we know the process for the Class 6 road.
Great.
Okay.
That's me. I got it. I'm on it.
Good job.
All right, great. Okay, Kelly, anything else that you can think of? All right, super. All right.
Oh, I have one more. I'm sorry. One thing, I don't know if he's leaving, but I had brought up last week, and I think it's on the agenda, is beach raking. Are we going to have the DPW rake the beaches, or if we are, we should have that. Or we should have Kelly know about that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a need. We have, when we asked the question, has there been any complaints about beaches not being raked?
Not that I've heard.
Not through the office.
Yeah. I don't know if there's... Yeah, I had done the beach raking last year, in years past as well. But I'm not sure why we actually do it, to be honest. It's a good exercise.
Well, I think I did it once last year, and I thought there was a need potentially to have the trash picked up. But that was the only benefit I saw to doing it, was that there was trash. And there wasn't...
Yeah.
I don't mean a lot of trash, but there was little pieces of things.
I think that there is a need to do it at least once a year. And as Kelly mentioned, you start getting vegetation growing up through the sand and such, so and getting all the pine needles off. So maybe going back to a more, maybe once a month, if that, or at least a spring cleanup of the beaches might make more sense.
Yeah, that would make more sense. That I noticed is that there were some things on the beaches that I found when I was going out and checking on vandalism after the weekend holiday. And I went to pick up certain items that were wrappers or, things that people would have put to their mouth or things that, and I said to myself, whoa, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even touch that. We got a serious concern about who picks up the trash and how they do it.
and we really should talk about that. I know when the guys went out after the holiday weekend to pick up about 20 bags of household trash left along various roads, they were gloved, as they should be. When they went into the vehicles, they discarded those gloves and put on a new set of gloves every bag, every time they got in and out of the vehicle. It has to be done right, or else someone's going to get sick, possibly. So I would advocate against having volunteers picking up trash unless they know what they're doing. It's different today than it was years ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something to think about. We don't have to decide here unless somebody's got a document ready to present and have all the answers. But I just wanted to bring that up. That was my own experience.
Good point.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Linus. Could the lady who does the cleaning of the outhouses just walk around the beach and pick stuff up? Would she
do that? No, I don't. We'd have to expand her focus, and I think she's time constricted anyhow. But the other thing, Dinah, is if there are what we discovered this weekend, bags of household trash, either left at the beach or inside or outside the outhouse, then we're going to have this individual cleaner notify our office so that they can notify the DPW.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Kathy, Paul, or anything else under DPW?
Nope.
Nope. I think I'm good.
Okay. I'm going to switch over to Donna. Donna, administration. Go ahead.
Just a lot of complaints when I came in on Monday about the boat raft broken, the trash all over the village, and I have gotten one phone call regarding the trailer and car that's parked in Hutwell parking lot. Other than that, that was a lot of time answering those calls and everything because everybody called and sent the emails into the office, which is good for the office to know everything. But it was an awful lot of complaints, definitely of the trash. So I don't know how we want to handle that.
It happens. Unfortunately, it happens every holiday. I've gone down and picked up the fireworks residue. I didn't find much on the beaches this year. It was on the roads. It was household trash. And I'm wondering, you know, as we discussed very quickly last week, the town has no longer provided coupons for renters or non-residents to go to the transfer station. I'm wondering if this is now going to be a ramification of that. So,
well, Jay, that's a good point about the non-resident disposal of trash. I think we were under the impression that the coupons were no longer valid and that renters could not dispose of their trash in Madison. And it sounds like what the town has done now is that renters can dispose of household trash, but at a cost of $5 per bag at the transfer station.
Correct.
Is that now the policy?
Yeah, it's went from $2 a bag to $5 a bag. The coupons were obviously cheaper. So the coupons have gone away, and now they've increased the fees. And just like you have when you go to get a new set of tires, they charge you for taking off the old tire. And a lot of people say, just throw them in the back of my vehicle, and then they toss them out on the side of the road when they're going home.
Right. But I think that some people might be respectful, and if they know that there's an option to get rid of the trash as they leave on Monday, that I think we misinformed the public saying that there was no way for them to dispose of trash in Madison when in actuality there is.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that $5 fee, is that gone into effect as of now?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And they can pay cash or credit card?
Cash, not credit card, no.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paula.
On the website, it's a bag. 17.
I can't hear you, Paula.
Paula?
On their website, it says $2 a bag.
Oh, is it still $2 on the website?
Yep.
That's what they it says at their June 15th meeting, that's what they decided. But then there was the public hearing on June 30th. So whatever decisions were made out of that public hearing, I don't know when those are going into effect.
Yeah, I thought it was, I thought they voted right then and there after the public hearing. Yeah, it says pre-hearing June 30th, and it says, we have the list in front of us, $5 per bag. Visitors may only bring, it's called municipal solid waste, food is household trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have their fee schedule, if you want to call it that, right here in the office.
Okay.
I guess they just haven't updated it on their website yet.
Okay.
Yep.
And it does say $5 per bag. Okay. So maybe we should put that out. We should put that out in a little email blast, so that renters, property owners can let the renters know that there is that option.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll take care of doing that email blast.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Donna, nothing else?
No.
All right. Canoe, kayak, rollout. Oh, you got a call from someone at Rock House Mountain?
Oh, yeah. I did get a call from somebody at Rock House Mountain requesting a kayak rack space because he was told in the past that they were going to let Rock House people do that. I did explain to him that the racks are for Edelweiss residents only. And I explained that we don't have enough racks for our own residents. So he thought that they could do that. So I explained it to him.
Yep. We got two correspondents concerning the water bill from Patricia Lapham and Isabel.
I never received Isabel's. I just got Patricia Lapham's.
Oh, you never got one from Isabel? Just I?
I got a phone call also from a resident wanting to waive the fee. I did explain to her that we waived the fee since May, you know, the May deadline to July 1st.
Right.
And she wanted to know if it could be waived for her. I said that I'd have to ask the Board of Commissioners. And it was the first phone call that she called yesterday wanting the fee waived. So that's up to you.
Well, I'm pretty sure, Isabel, I think right in the beginning when we were doing the online option for credit card to check, I'm pretty sure she did call. And with limited hours and everything else, I'm pretty sure she did make an effort to get that paid on time. So I probably would agree to waiving the fee for her. So I don't know if that rings a bell with you at all, Donna.
Actually, she did get an email bill, but
that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was when they for back in April. I mean, back in April when we first was sending them out when I was working with Catherine.
So what was the problem?
She had called. Go ahead, Jody.
Did she move or something?
She called to pay with her credit card and left a message. And I don't know if we tried to get back in touch with her. So she, you know, maybe it was incumbent upon her to make another phone call to try and get the pull of somebody in the office so she could give them the credit card information or her checking account information.
Yeah, but she still knew what the deadline was. I'm still wondering why she didn't pay it, knowing that if she couldn't get through to the office, the mail
that's
still
true.
The other option.
That's true.
Why would she give her credit? Did the portal not work, the credit card thing? Why didn't she do it on?
Well, it's a long story, Paula, but so in order to do credit card or check, to call the office and give them the information so that we can add on the credit card processing fee.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
So what we're sending them automatically is a email of the bill. And okay, so we're going to try and kind of resolve that going forward. But yes, so you couldn't just click on the link and pay it online. You had to call the office, and Donna had to facilitate that process.
Okay. Well, we didn't call back for some reason. I think it's fair to waive the fee in this case. Why did the other person want to have, that's my opinion, why did the other person want to have it waived, Donna, the one that called yesterday?
She just said that she was checking on the water bill and that the fee, you know, the fee was added, but she thinks because of the COVID that we should not charge the $50 fee.
I think didn't she say that she had notified the office of her change of address because she's
not
down
this,
at
not
Key
this
West
particular.
And...
No, yeah. No, that was somebody else. We've already gotten her payment. This person was the first time calling in yesterday.
Okay.
Hi, this is Dinah. You know, we've already waived the fees for 2 months because of COVID.
That's
and
what
I think,
explained to her, Dinah.
I mean, I paid mine on time, and I had to take out of savings and everything. So, you know, I think, I don't know. I just think they owe us the money. I'm being mean.
And actually, and Patricia has a $100 credit. Her fee was waived last year. Correct?
On Patricia Lapham, supposedly, I didn't see anywhere in any of my files that she had made arrangements to have the bill sent to her winter address, but the bill's under her primary address. So,
right.
Unfortunately, I sent it to the primary address because I didn't know any different. I did say to her going forward, I made a note on her bill to send it to the winter address.
But, getting back to that, the post office is the one that is to be notified by the mail recipient of any forwarding of mail, whether they vacation in Florida, which is in this particular case, and then they move to Vermont, which is still not their primary. They move around all year long, and it's up to the resident to make sure that they get their mail, not the office, the village district office, that if you send a correspondence during the months of May and July, you need to know to send it to this address. But if it's September to November, it has to go to that address. And if it's January to March, it needs to go to a third address. That's not what we do. We have one address, and it's up to the homeowner to have the post office forward mail to them so that they're not delinquent on anything that they might be cognizant or necessary to respond to.
Good point, Jay.
Yeah, Jay, unless it was returned to us because it couldn't reach them, I don't know why I agree with Jay.
I didn't get anything back on them.
So it's in the mail system somewhere, or they got it.
They got it to their primary address in New York.
Yeah.
So it's not only our bill that's not getting paid, it's probably a lot of other bills.
Yeah.
But I think those may be getting paid. Anyhow,
So Patricia Lapham, her late, her the district waived her $100 late fee last year, so she does have a credit on the books for the late fee. So
which was applied to the bill.
Yeah.
Okay. So you subtract the $100 plus the extra $50 for being late again. And I think that's a good point that it's up to the property owner to notify the post office of any forwarding addresses.
Right. Patricia's already paid, did you say?
No, we applied the $100 to her.
To credit, yep. So she only owes $300. Yeah. So I say
plus,
and the
plus
late
$50.
Fee of $50.
Plus,
yeah.
Are we waiving the $50 or?
No, I would. My vote is no.
Okay.
No, I agree with you, Jay.
Yes. Yeah.
I agree.
What about Isabel? I know she tried calling to pay electronically, but I think we did correspond back to her by email. You did, right?
I'll have to look.
Yeah.
I honestly don't.
But I still think she knows when the deadline was. I know myself, I would certainly, if I had to, use mail.
Yeah, or call back two or three times if you had to.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, because
I agree.
Yeah, because Donna would have had a record, a call centric record of every time she called and left a message, and I don't
recall. I would have returned the call.
Yeah.
So I have to look into that.
I think to Dinah's point too. We've given 2 months of leniency based on COVID and other reasons. So I think at this point we have to just start charging the fee.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to have any objections to that? Make a motion to that?
Okay. I don't think we need a motion. We already sent the bills.
Yeah, I just know Donna wanted to have some direction from us.
Yep.
Okay.
Got
that?
Yep.
Thank you.
Do we need Kelly?
I'm gonna hang around.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Moving on to let's see if we got anything else under administration. I don't think. Oh, I'm sorry. The minutes. We forgot about this last week. My apologies. Minutes of 5:14, 5:21, and 5:28. Has everybody had a chance to read those?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes of, you get this, Donna? 5:14,
yep.
5:21, and 5:28. Did I see an extra set in there?
No.
No. Okay. All right. So I have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Any amendments?
Jay, I have a comment on 5:21.
Go ahead, Ralph.
I believe, in fact, I just sent it to Donna, an email. There's a correction about what I said. The minutes say I called Mr. Leiser a pathetic liar. It should be corrected to pathological liar.
I was just going to, I remember that statement.
Sorry, Ralph.
Well, that's okay. I just read it this morning.
I haven't
I sent
written
it
as pathological.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Good catch. Any other amendments? Changes? Additions? Okay. Motion is on the floor. It has been seconded. We have an amendment from this is the 5:21 minutes, and that's what I will speak about right now. It's just the 5:21. The motion is for the 5:21 minutes to change the word from pathetic to pathological. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
I'll abstain.
Okay. And so now I'll make a motion.
You know, I do want to say that 91A gives some guidance that the state does just in the future that negative sentiments expressed by board members or members of the public need not be avoided if the comments are relevant. It is the inclusion of the inflammatory words that should be avoided. So just keep that in mind, I think, in the future.
Yep.
I certainly will. Thank you.
I've seen that as well. Thank you, Paula.
That's not for the minute.
Tell
that to Adam when he was in
there. When Adam was commissioner, he should be advised of that as well. It's post Adam, but he certainly didn't adhere to that. Another comment.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Why don't you post the current meeting minutes so that there's timely? So, in other words, when it's now July. And you're now working on May minutes. I believe you should be dealing with last week's minutes and posting last week's minutes so it's timely, so it's current, and then work your way at in due course for the back minutes. The posting.
All right. Okay, so noted by Donna, and she'll take that under consideration. Thank you, Ralph. All right, we have a motion on the table for the approval of all of those minutes that were mentioned earlier. It has been seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Abstain.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right, we're going to move on to accounts payable. This is a big number, biggest number I've ever signed for. We have, what are we going to call this manifest?
This is the water project manifest.
for $285,723.50. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, these are all the checks. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I
have it written down on it.
$285,723. Even. Do you want me to read off these checks?
Okay. The first check is for the first payment due to Dawson for $230,003.55. The next check is made out to the Village District of Edelweiss for the retainage fee from the Dawson payment for $25,556.95. The next check is to DN Tanks for $20,970. And the fourth check is to the Village District of Edelweiss for their retainage fee of $2,330. And then the next check is to Jones and Beach for $6,862.50. And that is for their engineering
services. All right. Okay.
Okay.
So motion is on the floor for that amount of $285,723. Seconded. And any further discussion? All in favor say.
Who seconded?
I think Kathy, did I see you seconded? I know you signed the checks.
I will second it.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Here you go, Donna.
Okay.
Bye. And these go with it, right?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next is the operating budget checks.
This is going to be a little bit less.
Okay, and that...
$7,317.29. And can you go ahead and read off those checks?
Okay. The first one is to Alvin J. Coleman for $680.69. The next is Coleman Rental for $371. The next is the Eversource for June for $2,492.22. And I do have the worksheet to go along with it for the cost.
Okay.
Is
that all water related?
Or no.
Is that everything?
That's everything.
Oh, okay.
Building and ground lighting, street lighting.
Yep.
The next one is F.W. Webb for $736.44. The next is to Chip Johnson for the garage door wiring, $579. The next is for Jones and Beach for $1,425. The next one is to Napa for $225.13. The next one is to Paris Farmers Union for $202.78. The next is the final bill from Robertson Green for the audit of $450. The next is to Smithfield Plumbing for $30.40.
What was that for, Smithfield? What did they do?
It's water, Ian.
Did they?
He must have had to get parts or something.
Parts,
or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a supply store.
Yeah,
okay.
Supply, yep. And the last one is to Silver Lake Home Center for $124.63.
Yeah.
Some
of those, I just want to make sure they don't go to my budget like that.
F.W. Webb would be
Coleman. Yes, I always ask you.
Yeah, Nick Coleman, that should be, without looking at it, it sounds like something to do with water, because I didn't rent anything to be on the phone.
That's going to...
Oh, okay. I have...
Have a description?
You left a compilation of a bunch of stuff.
You want that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just like to see it, as long as you mark it.
Yeah,
it's not marked from me.
Yeah, that's the slips that I...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one you said... Oh,
the other Coleman one?
Silver Lake.
Silver Lake. That could go to grounds because that was for the rafts.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that goes to
buildings and grounds?
Buildings and grounds.
No,
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay. You did put shop there.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. That should go to Parks and Rec.
Okay, so this also go to Parks and Rec?
All that Silver Lake, Parks and Rec.
Okay.
We're just
locks for the doors. And
right. Okay.
For
all right. So
we're just writing on the invoices where we're going to withdraw those funds from which account, so that we have good accountability.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll write every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I can go.
Yeah.
Have a non-public after this.
We do.
Okay.
We're gonna probably call you back in. All right. We have a signature item, and I believe we've already signed.
Okay.
Hey, this is Dinah. Why are we paying Jonathan Beach $1,425 out of the operating account?
It's for the tight tank design.
Oh, okay. All right. That's tight tank. And that's out of the warrant article then.
Right. From a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
That's tight tank.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it's actually... Actually, no, the problem was we had to have the engineering done in order to create the warrant article. So we've spent all the funds in the warrant article, so that will come out of the operating budget.
That's right. We had to go to our engineering budget under normal operations to create the warrant article, get an actual number. That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's no funds in the warrant article. Okay, go ahead.
Right, yeah. Moving on to signature items, 9 Reinhardt Driveway, I think we just signed that. We also signed the other one for 34 in the
mm-hmm.
auction. So,
yeah.
Committee reports non-water system. Okay, just wondering where we stand on the... who's going to be taking the lead on these liens for these water users?
Donna and I will work with Donna doing that.
Okay.
What we wanted to do is have Ian... we wanted to send the list to Ian first, and so that we would know which properties already had the water shut off at, and that way we could engage the owners that had water, that we would be taking them to small claims if the bill is not paid. So we wanted to give that one last option before we spent money putting liens on those properties.
Okay, great.
And turn water off.
That's kind of where we stand.
Yep. All right. Perfect. I just want to jump back real quick. I did miss something under administration. Paula, you were going to put an ad up on monster.com or some website like that for the second part-time position here in the office. I was wondering if you had an opportunity to get that done.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't say I was going to do it. We could look into it. I apologize. I didn't do that. But I didn't say I would actually do it. If you want me to actually go ahead and do it, I will. But I think there'll be some money. There will be cost for it.
Yeah, no, that's believe me, that's fine.
Maybe Polly, you could come down and we could do it just so that I know what we're doing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can show you how to do that.
Thank you.
I can come down today. I'll do that with you.
Okay.
So Jay,
thank you.
Yes.
Jay.
Yep.
There is an individual in the district that expressed an interest. She'll be moving here full time in 2 weeks. She's run an accounts payable for a company for years and years and years, so she does have some accounting background.
Okay.
So she asked, you know, for more information about the details of the job. So I will get in touch with her. She's only up on the weekends now, but she will be moving here full time.
Okay, great. All right. The CCR report, Donna, I believe you got that done.
Yep, that was all done and forwarded to DES.
Okay.
Ian worked with me, and we got it done, and now I know going forward what to do.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's on the website.
Yeah.
We still have.
Maybe, Kathy, with the email blast that you're sending out, just put that on that also.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let me add that. Okay. Plus, consumer confidence report on the water. Okay. Yep.
We still have the leak on Aspen. Haven't heard back from Ian as to when he might try to get to that.
Now, would a notice be required to send out saying that there's potentially going to be a water outage on Aspen for?
And Ian would have to notify us when he's going to do the work so that we can have that notice blast sent out, that email blast.
Okay. Yep. Okay, because he was supposed to do it last Thursday. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah. Robert Nelson up on 21 Upper Lakeview. Paula had drafted a very good letter.
Yeah, I read it.
I'm fine with it. So I guess we're okay to go ahead and sign this letter and forward that to Robert.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In here somewhere.
Yeah, I saw it. So we can do that, sign that out of session, and Donna will have that mailed off to Mr. Nelson. Ian has responded
to
you.
Do you have to make a motion to sign that?
I guess so. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we sign this letter out of session to Robert Nelson on 21 Upper Lakeview in response to his questions about the certainty of the water line existing in front of his property. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Both of you. Thanks. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. 7/9/20.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on real quick. Ian did respond back to my curb stop valve swing tie information, so we'll wait for that. And going on to commissioner's reports. All I can do, I guess I'll just comment on the past holiday weekend. Like many others, not like some more in the recent years, but we had damage to the ladder on the raft at Boulder Beach. Now, this is the second ladder that we're replacing on this raft. They're made of aluminum, so they're not really very sturdy or robust. There were, as I mentioned earlier, 20 bags of trash picked up by the DPW and myself the day following the 4th of July. I sat with the police officer that morning, Jimmy Hayford of Madison. He was going to put together a vandalism report. And initially, we thought the ladder was about $100. It actually ends up being $286. And I did also have a discussion with Officer Mike Mosier. And the same day, they recommended to me that possibly in holidays for future years, like the 4th of July, that the Village District of Idlewise pay for a detail to be positioned here in Idlewise to respond to numerous complaints like fireworks. So I'm just going to throw that out. I think that would be something that we'd put on a warrant article to the voters for next year. Adam Weiser had also sent an email in with the same information. It'd be anywhere $200-$300 for about 3 hours worth of detail here in the Village District. So I'll just throw that out right now.
Jay, would that be something the EPOA would be interested in providing to the district?
They may. I mean, we could have Dinah bring that to their board if Dinah is still on the call.
Yeah, I am. I don't think that's appropriate. I think the village should pay for that.
Yeah, I think it's not a social activity. It's more of a
policing. So
this is Paula. The question I have is that, I mean, we're really, I've not read the town charter, but the district is really responsible for the roads, I assume, and the beaches, our public property, and the water system. So the spending tax dollars to enforce the laws of Madison, maybe if we do it as a warrant article, then it works. But I just think, I'm as much as anybody wants this stuff enforced, but I just don't think spending tax dollars on something that isn't roads or water is not necessarily what the district's charter is.
Right. And I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing, Paula. You know, we didn't create the ordinance to ban fireworks. That was the town of Madison, and it's unfortunate that they don't have anybody on duty at night, which is when all of the fireworks activity occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agree with the two of you, is that the law is the law, and we pay for not only town police, but we also pay for county sheriff as well as state police. So the thing that is already in place is that we do have a neighborhood watch program. You see the signs that are around the district. And I guess maybe the district should possibly put out an email blast before the holidays that if you are being bothered by fireworks late at night or early in the morning, to please call 911. We will get a response. I don't think, having a police car sitting at Boulder Beach when people are lighting fireworks over on Geneva Beach would then take the vehicle over there, and then obviously, while they were over there dealing with that matter, fireworks would then start going off at Boulder Beach. So it'd be a cat and mouse game. And that would happen whether we pay for the detail or not. We still would have the police here because if we call, they'll come. It may take a while, but they'll come.
Just a couple other ideas, too, that we could publicize. I had renters next door to me that did after midnight fireworks. I called the police twice, actually, this weekend. But I also called... I was going to call the owner. I didn't have their number, but I actually called the real estate company and talked to them because they manage that house. And I told them, I don't ever want to see if those renters show up again, you know, I'll make a lot of noise for them. So, you know, I think that part of it was to call the people responsible, and they were, you know, and I saw something about another issue over on another road in Blinden, I think, where somebody went and talked to the renters. So, you know, we also went over and took photographs in the morning of all the fireworks canisters on the beach so we could give those to the police as proof so that they could issue a ticket. So, you know, I think we people should, you know, call the police, but they can also call the owners of the houses and call the real estate companies if they know who manages the property. They're accountable for this as well. And I think the other thing we should discuss, if we really wanted to do something, was to create an ordinance. The question I would have long term is there an ordinance or something we could create where we hold the owners of the houses accountable that are doing this so that they could then take money out of their security deposits for people? Now,
yeah,
I think there's some other way of doing this. And we don't have to discuss that now. I just think longer term there might be other issues.
Good point. I'm thinking of something right now, but I don't want to discuss it. But yeah, no, good point. Another avenue or mechanism that's already in place that we could use. Okay.
Dawn, are you keeping track of a folder or a list of topics that would be brought up at the next public hearing for the district?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so that may be one. Just you know, throw an item in there for fireworks enforcement.
Yeah.
So we don't forget.
Paula, since you have the microphone, I'm going to let you continue with commissioner's reports if you have anything else.
I don't have anything else. I mean, you listed committees here. I think, as I said, I think it's not for me to bring, it's not a commissioner report. I've just been, I think at some point, we don't have to take it up now, or we can, but it's already 10:40. I'd rather not. We have other stuff.
Yeah.
Talk about ongoing health and use of committees.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Kathy, I'm going to swing the microphone over to you. You can go ahead with your committee report.
Okay. I sent to the office late yesterday. There's two spreadsheets I put together just to help us kind of keep track of of the contracts that we're obligated to for the Reinhardt Tank Project. One of the sheets shows the contracts, the amount of money we've been billed each month, and then what the remaining balance is on those contracts. And then the second sheet is what we've done with those bills, whether they've been submitted to the state for reimbursement and when we did it and when we got reimbursed from the state, which would be money coming from that grant. So it's pretty up to date. I included the payments that were made today that were approved. I did put on sheet number two what the balance of our capital reserve funds were as of the beginning of the year for the water system, capital reserve funds, the water system, the water tank, water pipe improvement. I also put water line extension, even though that's really not money we would use for this project, but it is kind of a water-related CRF. So if Donna, can you send me Dinah's email address? Because I always want her to be copied on these, and I don't have her email address.
Certainly.
Okay, so I think it's pretty clear. It's just two sheets kind of looking at the same information two different ways, and it agrees within like $50 of what Chris gave as sort of an update as to where we were with on the project. So I think it's just a good way to validate what he's giving us for information, that we have that same information on our side. That's it.
That's good work. Great. Thanks, Kathy.
Did you have an opportunity to look at it yet, Jay? I know we sent it kind of late yesterday.
Oh, no, I did. No, I actually saw the big numbers in there, and I said, did we already spend that? But no,
we just signed
the checks this morning. I know what you did, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so we spent $306,522 so far.
Yeah, just a drop in the bucket.
Just a drop in the bucket. So that's that.
I was
and then
nervous
on
writing
my
check.
Yeah, Donna was nervous writing the checks.
I know.
This is Dinah. The village obligated itself to take $85,000 out of capital reserves towards the cost of this project.
Mm-hmm.
We already have, there's a $2,500 check for the blasting or something that's going to go to the capital reserve.
Yep.
That was the ledge probes.
Are we keeping a list of that?
That's what's on this.
Oh, okay. Are we going to just pay it piecemeal out of the capital reserves? I mean, like, as bills come up, we will debit the capital reserve and pay the bill or whatever, and then...
Right now we're paying it, and it's being accounted in the warrant article, and then when we get the money from the capital reserve fund, we'll keep those transfers in a separate account, and then we can just show the difference. So instead of submitting a withdrawal for $2,500, and then there's one for $1,137, and for these small amounts, we'll probably do it maybe on a quarterly basis and do it, you know, a 3 months or 4 months lump sum. So we're paying it out of the loan, so we don't need the cash right now, but we do have to apply it to that account. Yes.
It wouldn't make sense just to take $85,000 out of the capital reserve and put it in the project account, would it?
I don't think we can do that. We need to show them invoices of how we're going of being billed for those items. I don't think we can just take the money out and put it aside.
Well, it's in the contract. It says $85,000 out of capital reserve.
Well, that's an obligation that we've made. But I think Kathy's right, is you want to actually show invoices so that you can actually extract that money.
And we may not spend it all.
Right.
I mean, it may be that, you know, we end up spending $75,000 of it, not all $85,000 of it. I mean, we've got enough projects.
Right.
We should use it.
Aren't we obligated to, that's part of the deal.
In order to get the full $295,000, yes. You're right.
But if everything comes in well under budget, we won't be spending all of that.
We may.
Okay.
There's enough alternative ads that there's three big projects out there that once the Reinhardt project's done and whatever's left in that contingency fund, it was $149,000 to start. It looks like we're about $10,000 into it, that whatever's left over there, which includes the $85,000. There's going to be that, whether it's the Upper Lakeview waterline replacement or one of those other two projects. So we will, the plan is to spend the money. But I think
okay.
we just need to have an invoice attached to it.
I think you need the minutes and an invoice for the CRF. When I was looking back to how they did, I had to go through something for the CRF funds for the audit. And we had to pull the minutes and the invoice of how it was paid to the trustees.
Yes, that's a great point. Thank you, Donna. So, Donna's correct.
I mean, we could have to make a motion
to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy.
We have to make a motion to do that, but we could take the Dawson's bill that we just got and use that if we want to.
Yeah, and just wipe out the $85,000 all at once, but.
And that way, we're not piecemealing it and wondering where we're at and who's got what. So we could do it that way as well.
Yeah. But, you know, to the other point, too, it's always nice to have money in capital reserve funds when you have a disaster. So
we'll hang on to it till the last minute.
Jay, we're not going to have any left once we spend the $85,000, so that's academic.
We will. We'll have 40, 50, 52,000 left.
Yeah. Because some of the additive alternatives, Dinah, the projects themselves and the cost to do any one of those others is so large that we just may not have enough money to go ahead and fund the entire project. So we may have to piecemeal some things if we decide to do that, if it's worth doing at all. So to Kathy's point, we may actually have money that goes unspent in this whole budget. All right.
Okay.
So I want to move on.
That's a good point, Dinah, though, is to try and do it all in large increments instead of $1,000 for each little invoice that comes in. Okay.
Yeah. We got 15 minutes. Yeah, we got 15 minutes left. I want to just go over correspondence real quick. Loon Preservation Committee newsletter. Nothing is necessary for us to respond to there. It was a very good read on water level management. We have been playing phone tag with Michelle Clark at the DRA because I keep getting these emails from supported Axiom DRA forms that are due, but I've gone online and I see them right there. They're all done. So I'm not sure. We'll have to just hopefully meet up with her by phone. She's working from home. We had a correspondence from Debbie Hewitt. So we already know what we're going to do there. Ralph Lutchen would like to prune and fertilize and relocate some of the plants at the entrance garden. So I have no problem with having Ralph done that. Ralph designed that garden, and some of the plants have matured. So does anybody have any objections to having Ralph continue to maintain that garden?
Nope. I think that would be great.
Okay,
I did put a few perennials in there last year, so as long as those can kind of be he's aware that there's some perennials in that garden.
Yep. Okay. And we got an email.
Ralph's still on the line.
He is. So, Ralph, did you hear that? I didn't know you were still on the line.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. We also got an email from John Rochez, the president of the EPOA. He was requesting that the fence to the playground be opened up so he could fix it, and we responded back that he can go clean the playground, but please hold off on fixing the fence. And I guess he said that he's already fixed the fence. I'm not sure what he actually did, but somebody had strung up some of the chain link back to the horizontal support pole with plastic zip ties. We have Andy Elliott wants to know if it's okay to install an irrigation system at his property, and there's nothing against doing that. So I guess the response to him would be go ahead. We got an email from Adam Leiser on the fireworks, and it's talked about the paid detail. We already talked about that. Paul Doyle also sent a correspondent in informing us of the broken ladder, which becomes a safety issue. Thank you, Paul. That raft has been taken out and is being repaired and put back in place. Same with Brian LaPlante. Noticed trash on the Boulder Beach, the broken ladder, and that people on the beach were not socially distancing.
we don't have to respond to Brian, John Cooley, again, Pond Level Management. And that's all I have for correspondence. I'm now going to open it up to public comment for those folks who are still on the call. Does anybody have any questions or concerns? All right, hearing crickets.
Wait a minute, crickets just woke up. I just wanted to say that by next Thursday's commissioners meeting, I hope to have new signature cards for the operating account and for the project account so that Paula can sign those as well.
Okay. So do all three of us still need to sign a new set of cards? Is that correct, Donna?
I don't know. I hope they can just sort of slip down,
Paula
in there, but whatever they have to do, they have to do. So
okay.
I just want to let you know that I'm going to do that.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, hearing no one else in the public comment section, I'm going to make a motion that we go into non-public session under... Right there. Let's see. RSA 91A colon 3. Let's see. I want to make sure I get this one right.
This is the one we've been using. This
oh, there it is.
Yeah.
91A colon 3, section 2.
Parentheses
E. Yep. And also may also go into RSA 91A colon 3, 2G, which is legal and legal counsel. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a roll
second
call.
That. I'll second
I'm
that
have
motion.
A roll call vote on that. Okay. All in favor of going into non-public, say yay. I say yay.
Yes.
Yay.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to shut off the phone line here. We're going into non-public session. We will come back out of non-public in public and either decide to seal or unseal the minutes. Thank you, everybody.
Anna, do I call the office? Do I call the office?
Yes.
Yes, yes, call the office.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right, okay. All right, so Jay?
Yeah.
This is, I think, something that the commissioners should have a discussion about. I don't know if it's necessary to bring Kelly back into it. We had a pretty good conversation with him yesterday, and I think he's basically said all that he can say. I think it's up to the commissioners to then take that information and discuss it amongst the three of us.
Okay. I just want to make sure he's available in case Paula has any questions, or either one of us.
Okay. But I think the meeting should be the three of us.
Okay.
Kathy.
Okay, right. Thank you, Paula. I'll call the office. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay.